This is CIUT and the Taylor Report, and I think we've got Sarah Flounders on the line. Are you there, Sarah?
Yes, Bill, I'm here.
Hey, thank you very, very much. I know we called you late, and we're very anxious to find out. Your International Action Committee must be concerned about this, and it's, so much is going on in New York, the UN Security, CN Security Council.
That's right.
And so comment on these things. Let's. What has happened in eastern Syria? What do you think I'm about to say bluntly, what is the U.S. up to?
Well, this is a very dangerous military escalation of its five-year war, its five-year effort to overturn the legally elected, internationally recognized government in Syria. And so this has gone through so many stages, but it has been relentless and has involved the organizing of thousands and thousands of mercenary and fanatical forces brought in from some 60 countries around the world. But then claiming to be fighting ISIS or Daesh 2 years ago, the U.S. militarily went in with bombing Syria. And during that entire time, they seemed unable to even put a scratch on Daesh or ISIS, but they did enormous damage in the country. Last year, as Russia came into the war and actually did strike these, the U.S. began to protest. So on Saturday, there was an action, a military action, supposedly against the very center, a stronghold of ISIS, and instead, the U.S. bombed the Syrian army forces here, and it actually protected and defended the ISIS, this fanatical force they claim they've been trying to destroy all along. But they ended up protected, and the Syrian army was hit. And immediately, Russia called for a U.N. Security Council emergency meeting. It's hard to imagine that such things are a mistake, not with the equipment, the knowledge, the surveillance, and the contact. And they've refused to coordinate with Syria or with Russia their plans. Mm-hmm. So that's why also mistakes like this happen.
Yeah. Let me
now,
ask you,
makes a whole ceasefire completely fragile, and now that has come apart.
Yeah, they put the onus, actually. I mean, the Syrians are showing tremendous, as they have for a long time, actually, restraint. I think they understand they're being confronted by a bully who wants to see, you know, knock the chip off their shoulder, et cetera. And they've shown restraint. Russia has shown restraint. But isn't this an attempt also? I mean, they wanted a military advantage from this. Because isn't their policy in that region to try to break off and balkanize Syria?
Isn't there the last part of the question?
Is this in furtherance of it? To break off pieces of Syria, to try to capture parts of Syria?
Absolutely, they want to do to Syria what was done in Iraq, make it a really decimated, fragmented country with deep sectarian divisions. That has been the purpose. Syria is really the last modern secular country in the region, and really, what does the arming of all these extreme and fanatical forces do, and the targeting and killing on the basis of religion, ethnicity, background mean? So it is an effort to break up Syria. It's an effort to, as they say, regime change. They say it all the time, that the government of Syria, not just President Bashar Assad, but the government of Syria must step down, must, in other words, collapse, resign, and hand over power to the U.S. I mean, it's an outrageous, outrageous demand, and through NATO, which is a U.S. military-commanded alliance, the U.S. has a whole list of other countries, including Canada, who are taking part. There's 13 countries taking part in the bombing of Syria, completely uninvited. That in itself is a crime, a violation of the UN charter, violation of international law, that step alone. And they're relentless in doing it. Then they said, oh, well, they're interested in a ceasefire. it lasted a week, and it has literally come apart mm-hmm. with this. And also, there was a publicized on Friday incursion of U.S. special forces in an invasion into Syria.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a just prior to this is a comic opera moment when the Syria right. when the American commandos had rocks thrown at them by their allies.
Right, exactly. And it does remind you very much of what happened to the U.S. ambassador to Libya, the very forces he had brought forth, he mm-hmm. had created, armed, and financed were the very forces who killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the danger of who is created, who is utilized, you know, in the region.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Sarah Flounders, International Action Committee. And what about this performance?
International Action Center.
Center.
With our website being iacenter.org.
That's what I get for looking at the wall when I should be thinking it.
No.
This is Sarah Flounders. And what about the performance? What do you make of the Samantha Powers? The whole world seems to be kind of shocked at her, how she handled this at the Security Council.
Well, it's an outrage. She used as an opportunity to attack both Syria and Russia. But really, who is Samantha Powers? She has been the main promoter.
She might become Secretary of State, right?
She certainly eyed for it. Under Hillary. And it was really, she was a Hillary appointment and cohort from the beginning. But the very idea and labeling, you know, the U.S. war in Yugoslavia, then in Iraq, and then in Libya, and now in Syria as humanitarian interventions,
mm-hmm.
This really, she's been a principal proponent of this. And the use of aggressive war propaganda that again and again uses the most obscene, which we can see now with the white helmets,
yes.
Uses the most outrageous slanted things that come apart absolutely afterwards. I mean, it's incubator babies and mass rapes and mass graves and all of these weapons of mass destruction, all of these things that don't stand the light of day, but that the corporate media will repeat so relentlessly it becomes fact in the minds of millions of people and silences people who are saying hands off and no war. And that's the purpose of it, to raise charges that seem so outrageous that it kind of bowls people over. I think, oh, my goodness, this is so terrible. So we see that going on now in Syria, where you have groups that are created by the U.S. and Britain, such as the White Helmets,
mm-hmm.
Completely set up by them and then given endless publicity. It's a big deal. White Helmets is at the Toronto
yes. I mean, you have people
International Film Festival.
Yeah, you have people who really proudly slit the throat of a child and all of them laugh together. And yet the White Helmets are comfortable and able to move in and around. And indeed, in the case of that photograph, I believe your organization and others pointed out that a White Helmet was involved in that picture.
They constantly say they're independent, unfunded, and neutral. They operate only where al-Nusra, al-Qaeda forces are based, so that's certainly not neutral. They receive millions of dollars from the U.S. State Department. They openly acknowledge that USAID gives them $23 million, the British Foreign Office $19 million, Netherlands, Turkey, on and on and on. So they're receiving multi-millions of dollars in operating funds and at the same time putting forth that they're a completely independent humanitarian force.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also part of the war propaganda, because every time they want to talk about the urgency of a no-fly zone or U.S. NATO bombing in Syria, they drag out the White Helmets to do so,
yeah.
to have a heartrending story. They're the public relations arm for the war.
Well, you know, they produce million-dollar pictures, right?
That's right.
All this little exercise, and then they one little photograph, and we're supposed to bomb a country flat.
That's right. It is outrageous. Very, very difficult. Now, there's going to be the UN Security Council is meeting again on Wednesday. That in itself is a difficulty. The Syria did announce today that the ceasefire is over, that it's been completely violated by all of the forces who were to hold this ceasefire. These groups that the U.S. funds have completely violated it, and it is no way for them to continue it. There's a meeting tomorrow of the International Syria Support Group meeting in New York. So it's a busy time. We're trying to have a demonstration as the UN Security Council meets on Wednesday.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Could you, by the way, I'd be remiss if I don't ask you. This is Sarah Flounders, International Action Center. What is this presidential election and these candidates? Tell us who they are and what you're suggesting people do.
I have to say this is an outrageously difficult and impossible, untenable situation because really Hillary Clinton is a war criminal and, Donald Trump is an absolutely insane racist. And completely unpredictable. Mm-hmm. So those are the options that were given by the two major parties. And anyone who thinks that they're going to get reasonable policies out of either of them will be completely disappointed. Yeah. It is a time, I think, the only way is to dig in and reinforce, strengthen the grassroots movement.
Yeah, build the International Action Center.
From above.
Build your organization,
frankly. And all the groups
that
are cooperating. Yeah, all of the groups that are... We don't act alone. We act with so many others. And that's an important part of it, too, I think, understanding what our own capacity is and that we can't go hat in hand to the very forces that make the war and continue it for their own interests and put really dangerous forces in motion. That's part of the problem, too. There may be big struggles even within ruling circles in the U.S. on how to proceed.
I noticed the Russian ambassador asked a pretty good question. He says, who's running the place? Is it the Pentagon or the president? Because they tell us different things.
Exactly. Who's running the place? And it's, there's no way for us to know that. There's no way for us to know that, but we know that they have funded with billions and billions of dollars, forces in the region whose interests are in war and in complete chaos. It's why when you look at Libya today, the howling disaster and wasteland that it is, when you look at Iraq today and the war still continuing in Afghanistan, the drone strikes everywhere, this is a very difficult and dangerous time because each confrontation is more dangerous, and certainly a confrontation with Russia in Syria should all sit up and take notice.
Absolutely. You are in the capital of permanent war. Sarah, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
That's true.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you, Phil. Okay.
We're always glad to talk to you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Sarah Flounders. Sarah Flounders, International Action Center. And this is the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. I want to thank our guests. We were very glad to be talking today to Sandra Rusch about women's boat to Gaza and to Zafar Benkash. By the way, that's crescent-online.net. And, of course, to Doug Brown, the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. And you can find this, by the way, I'll remind you, because we're going to post their letter from the Hamilton Coalition on our website. We're Facebook / The Taylor Report. And, of course, we're online, taylor-report.com. Hani and Phil Conlon, thank you very much. And I'm Phil Taylor, and we'll see you next week.